All right, I want to get our gears turning this morning. And so I'm going to give you some phrases, and you're going to tell me where they come from. We're continuing in our series on things God never said. Okay, God did not say that. And today is the final message in that series. And I know it's going to be good because people were arguing with me about the sermon last week. Think about it, okay? They were arguing with me about this week's sermon last week. They hadn't even heard this week's sermon yet. So I know that we've got some gears turning. So here's one for you. Where does this come from? Play it again, Sam. What's that? Bogey? Humphrey Bogart, okay? And the movie was, I heard somebody back here. Casablanca, I got bad news for you. Humphrey Bogart never said that. No, he did not say that. He said, play that song like this. And he's talking to the piano player, okay? Okay, how about this one? Yeah, I bet you. And so what do I get if I'm right and you're wrong? Probably later. How about this one? Beam me up, Scotty. Oh, yeah. Did you know that in 79... episodes of Star Trek, he never said that. And nor did he say it in any of the six movies that have come out since then. Oh, he says something similar, but he never said, beam me up, Scotty. Yes, he did say things like that, but he never said those exact words. How do you like that? What's that? He does lots of stuff. He's James T. Kirk. He can do everything. He can beat computers at their own logic. Superman. It works the same way with the Bible. And we started off this series with a message about God never said that God helps those who help themselves. Did you know that of all of the sayings that we've been going through these 9 weeks or how long it's been, that God helps those who help themselves is actually something that 80% of Christians who were polled believe this was in the Bible somewhere? That was number one. God helps those who help themselves. Number two on the list of most popularly held beliefs of things that God said in the Bible that actually aren't there is this one we're talking about this week. Okay, because God never said that God never gives us more than we can bear. Or God never said that God never gives us more than we can handle. We like to think that that's exactly what it says. But did you know that if you look in your Bible, it never says that God will never give you more than you can handle in the way that we think it does. Okay? So I'm getting the look already. There's people giving me this look. Give me this look. Like, what you talking about, Willis? Right off the bat, folks, I want to start off by talking about some problems with this idea that God will never give you more than you can bear. Because everything that we read like this has to be examined in the light of Scripture. And when we're looking at Scripture, we have to look at the Scripture in light of the context of the Scripture. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So, number one this morning, I want to talk about the text test. The first challenge in the text test is saying it 10 times fast. Say it, text test, 10 times fast. Forget it. That's not in the Bible. And so when we're looking at the text that we're going to be talking about this morning, we have to understand that there is a quote like it, but the words that God will never give us more than we can bear or give us more than we can handle are just not found in Scripture. There's nothing that says that God will never give you more than you can bear. This idea is actually something that's given for the purpose of making people understand that God is on their side and He takes care of things. And you'll find this whole idea over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay? So would you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 6 through 13. How many of you right now are saying pastor's wrong? It's always the pastor's wife or the pastor's kids that are the worst behaved, especially when the wife is acting like a kid. And that's even worse. Page 1,134 in your pew Bible, if you're using one of the Bibles from the pews, 1134. starting at verse 6. Everybody got it? Okay. It says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Or as it says in some translations, no temptation has seized you that isn't common for people. But God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will supply a way out so that you'll be able to endure it. What is Paul talking about here? He's actually talking about people being tempted. And if you look at the context, he's actually talking about temptation to sexual sin. But I think it would be okay to take that whole idea and boil it down to temptations in general. I don't think there's anything wrong with that in this particular area. If you're being tempted, what is Paul saying? If you're being tempted, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. And if you are being tempted strongly, God will give you a way out. Does that sound all right to you guys? Okay, does that sound okay? Okay, like I said, shake your head louder. I can't see it as long as I could. I need the noise. This is not saying, folks, this is far from saying that nothing will ever happen to you, that you will not have a burden, you will not have this happen to you, you will not have that happen to you, that you cannot bear. That's not saying that at all. It's saying God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Do you see the difference? And we're going to talk about some of the more practical ramifications behind that. In addition to this quote, God will not allow you to be put through anything you cannot bear. In addition to the fact that it's not found in Scripture, there's other problems with that. Because there are Scriptures that we find that would contradict this idea of ours completely. If we believe that God will not allow us to endure things we cannot bear, then somebody please apologize to the Apostle Paul. Okay? Because Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be unaware of the troubles that we went through in Asia. We were weighed down with a load of suffering that was so far beyond our strength that we were afraid we might not survive. Notice he does not say, but we didn't because God would not allow us to be tried beyond what we can bear. He doesn't say that. What is he saying? We were put through so much stress when we were in Asia, we thought we were going to die. Does that sound like God will not allow you to endure things that you're not able to bear? Is that what it sounds like? It doesn't sound like it to me. Elsewhere in Scripture, we find David over in the Psalms. He says, listen, please, in Psalm 38, I was just reading this the other day, he says, I am worn out, completely crushed. I groan because of my miserable heart. Does that sound like God will not let me handle or have anything in my life I can't bear? He's not saying that. He's saying, I am crushed. I'm worn out, completely crushed. Notice he does not say, I'm getting there, but I know God will not allow me anything I can't bear. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, I'm almost crushed, but I know God will not allow me to be crushed because He will not allow me anything I cannot bear. He's not saying that. He's saying, I am completely worn out. I'm completely crushed. 1 Kings 19:7. An angel appears to Elijah after he goes through and kills all the prophets of Baal with a sword after Mount Carmel. Remember that? And he goes off and he sulks for a while because one woman, Jezebel, has said, I am going to kill this man. And he goes off and he sulks. He faces down 850 prophets. And he's afraid of one woman. And he goes and hides. And an angel appears to him and says, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. think about the ramifications behind that idea. The angel doesn't say, get up and get moving, and God will sustain you because he will not let you be put through anything you cannot bear. What does he say? He says, what you're about to go through is too much for you to handle. So get up and eat and get ready to go. Sounds a little bit different, doesn't it? To you? It does to me. We encounter people all through Scripture that are overwhelmed by what befalls them. And I think of a Savior hanging on a cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound like, God, I'm here on this cross and I know you're not allowing me here to go through something I myself cannot bear? When he's crying out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweating these drops of blood, and he says, let this cup pass from me, is he saying, oh God, I know what I'm about to go through, but I know you won't let me go through something I can't bear? No. Matter of fact, it says that after he prayed that prayer, angels came and ministered to him because he needed it. So, if you want to examine this idea of God will not allow us to go through something we cannot handle or bear, it totally fails in the light of Scripture. There's another problem with it, and it's the reality check. Here's the second problem. Aside from the fact that this verse is not found in Scripture, there are all kinds of things that I have seen happen in the lives of people that they could not bear. So it fails in the light of Scripture, and it also fails in the light of human experience. And if it fails in the light of Scripture and human experience, what should we do with it? Toss it. There are all kinds of things that happen that we can't bear. People contract fatal illnesses. We suffer the death of loved ones. Sometimes we feel like our lives come crashing down around us. This is the problem I have with that. And for lack of a better term, here's something I have... This is an original Van Hornism, okay? I call it bumper sticker Christianity. You know what bumper sticker Christianity is? Bumper sticker Christianity is something that's designed to make people feel better quickly by giving them bumper sticker sized snippets of lukewarm theology. And God will not allow you to go through something more than you can bear is a perfect bumper sticker theology thing. You know, it makes people think, oh, that's a nice thought. Kind of like, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. You know, I see that bumper sticker, I hate it. You know why? Because it's people saying, I know I'm not perfect and I don't have to worry about being perfect because God's going to forgive me anyway. Well, good, go rob a bank. God will forgive me anyway. I'm not perfect. What do you expect? What about holiness? What about God's desire for obedience? I don't see that on that bumper sticker anywhere. It's a religion of trite platitudes that are designed to make people feel better quick. Okay? So, this theology is usually of the self-help variety. Remember, because God helps those who help themselves. So we give people these little snippets that are designed to make us feel better. And while these snippets are long on optimism, and they're long on, you know, encouraging us to do things that we should do, you know, commit random acts of love, it's almost as if people never consider the context in which these silly sayings have to be lived out. How about going to somebody who has just been given a diagnosis of a terminal illness and saying, well, you know what, God will never give you more than you can bear. Yes, I know you're going to die, but God will never give you more than you can bear. Really? Is that so? How about somebody who's going through a time where they're totally overwhelmed by grief and loss because they've lost somebody close to them? Don't go and say, you know, God has allowed this in your life because he'll never give you more than you can bear. Or worse yet, like we talked about this short while ago, you know, God has a reason for everything. Everything happens for a reason. Bumper sticker Christianity. There it is. How about going through something where somebody is being crushed? through no fault of their own, something where people are being crushed by depression, something like people being crushed by anxiety and other afflictions, and saying, hey, snap out of it. God will never allow you to go through something you can't bear. Oh, thank you. I feel better already. Don't you? Turn that frown upside down. Bumper sticker Christianity is useless in these contexts. And if all we're ever prepared to say is God will never give you more than you can bear, I would suggest to you that if you're faced with a situation and that's the only thing you can think of to say to somebody to make them feel better, do them a favor and don't say it. Matter of fact, say nothing. Just put your arms around them and hug them. That'll tell them a lot more than a bumper sticker. Thirdly, this morning, I want to talk about bearing the burden. Because as with all ideas we're looking at in this sermon series, this one has the potential to do some spiritual harm. Because there's a great amount of cognitive dissonance among the faithful, many of whom profess belief in this idea that God will never let them be put through something they can't bear. And then they find themselves in a situation that's absolutely crushing them, and they can't figure out why. If God will never allow me to go through something I can't bear, then why am I going through this thing that I can't bear? What do we tell people who are going through something like that? What do you say? If God never gives us more than we can bear, and I feel like I am being crushed under the weight of something, then there must be something wrong with me. And that's unfair to put on somebody that's already crushed under the weight of something. You getting what I'm saying here, folks? What am I doing wrong? Why isn't God helping me? If God will not allow me to be put through something I can't handle or something I can't bear, well, then what's going to happen at the end of this thing that I'm going through that I can't bear? I will tell you right now that there are times in my Christian walk that I have felt like a total failure. There are times that I have gone through my Christian walk where I felt as though I'm not strong enough to deal with something, and there must be something wrong with me because of it. Hardship, grief, and pain are not things that are isolated only to the life of parishioners. Pastors go through them. I've seen loss and pain that I would never wish on anybody. But do you know what really, really hurts? Do you know what really, really hurts? The amount of suffering that I was doing because I was suffering. What do I mean by that? I mean, I'm supposed to have all the answers. I'm the preacher guy, you know. I'm supposed to have all the answers, and if somebody is suffering, I'm supposed to be able to tell them something. Boom, here's the pill for today. Feel better? You know, take two scripture verses and call me in the morning. So what happens if I'm suffering and I understand that God believes that He'll never give me something I can't bear? Well, what happens if I'm having something happen to me that I can't bear? Then I begin to suffer because I'm suffering. You get it? Because Christians aren't supposed to suffer, and if we're suffering, then there must be something wrong with me. So then I've got a double burden that's thrown on my shoulders. Not only is there this thing that's crushing me, but I'm being crushed because there must be something wrong with me because I'm being crushed. Do you get what I'm saying? People love to come at us with little bumper stickers. And there have been times that I have been through stuff in my own life where people have come to me with this kind of thing, and I have said, I know they're trying to encourage me, but this is cruel. It's cruel. Why did I think it was cruel? Because I had to come to the conclusion that since I could not bear the weight of what I was going through, that I must be a bad Christian or a bad person. Because everybody knows that if you're a good Christian or a good person, we always find a way to make lemonade out of lemons. Right? I must have lacked proper faith because I wouldn't be feeling this if I had enough faith. right? Ultimately, the minds of the faithful, if they're suffering what has come upon them, then it must be their own fault, because everybody knows that God will never allow us to be put through something we can't bear. There is a theological term that I want to throw at you right now, okay? It's called hogwash. And this idea that God will never give us more than we can bear is hogwash. Because it must mean that I'm a failure in my faith at some point if I am being crushed under a burden. So forever put away the idea. Amen? Oh boy. I think I must have just hit a nerve or something, because that was pretty doggone weak. And I think I know why. You know why? Because you're going through it too. You have felt it, haven't you? If I am a person of faith, then why am I going through this? Or if I have enough faith, why am I being crushed underneath this? Not only do I have a problem with this thing that's crushing me, but I'm also spiritually stupid or sick. Therefore, I am not able to handle this. Folks, that's unfair. Totally unfair. Because it raises another problem. You know what that problem is? It places all the focus in the wrong place. The sentiment that God will never give us anything more than we can bear makes it about what we can bear. And the truth is, folks, the Christian walk has never been about what we can bear. It's never been about what I can take. It's never been about what my potential is. It's never been about what can I do. It's about what He can do. And Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, Father, don't worry about this cup I'm about to partake of. I got it covered. Is that what it said? Not even in the Van Horn paraphrase will you find that. He says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And this is exactly what Paul makes very apparent in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, it certainly seemed to us as if we had gotten the death penalty. This was so that we would have confidence in God who raises the dead instead of ourselves. Paul said, we were put through these things that were absolutely crushing us to prove to us and to prove to the people around us that it's not us that are strong, it's God who is strong. Folks, none of this is about me. None of this is about you. It's about whom? It's about Him and what He can do. God wants to glorify Himself in you. In other places, Paul says, and three times I fasted and entreated the Lord that He would remove this thorn in my flesh. Okay? But what did God say to Paul? Paul, don't sweat it. You got this covered. I'll never let you go through something you can't bear. Right? Now, what did He say? My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, you're going to have to deal with the thorn to prove to people that my grace is what you need. That's a tough lesson to learn. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying, I thought we were finished. I thought we were dead. We knew that we couldn't handle it because it was beyond our strength. But all of this is being done to remind us that we should have confidence in God and not in ourselves. Folks, if all you needed to walk the Christian life was a good set of spiritual biceps, then God would give them to you so that you can prove to the world how strong you are. But God doesn't do that. Sometimes, yes. Praise the Lord for those times. But there are other times He wants to prove to the world how much He is able to handle. Paul reminds us that the sufferings are not something apart from God. Listen, please. Sometimes sufferings are not tests sent by God to us. but rather places in which we encounter God. Sometimes we encounter God in the midst of these trials, and we learn lessons through it, and we grow. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all you are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your souls, yourselves. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Notice that nowhere in this does Jesus say, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll teach you how to bear that burden all by yourself." He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "Take my yoke upon you." In other words, you know what a yoke is? I know, it's the middle of an egg, right? Here, have some eggs over medium, please, with a side of corned beef hash. That's not what he says. The yoke is a Y-O-K-E yoke, not Y-O-L-K yoke. A yoke is something you put around the neck of a beast of burden, like an ox, a mule, a horse, or a donkey, in order to do work. And Jesus says, "Take my yoke on you." In other words, we're going to put a yoke on, folks. You're going to be on one side, I'm going to be on the other side, and I'm going to teach you how to pull the plow. That's exactly what he's saying. Of course, the Van Horn paraphrase. "Put my yoke on and learn from me. I'll show you how it's done," he says, basically. "And I will pull the plow with you." Our faithfulness, folks, is not demonstrated by how easily we are able to bear the burdens that come our way. Our faith is demonstrated by our recognition that we cannot bear the burdens we face, but that we have one who is a burden bearer, and that we are willing to go to him. And then when he bears these burdens with us, we come back to God's people and say, "I'm going through something so bad I thought I was going to die, but guess what? Jesus stepped in and he pulled the plow, folks." Or we can be like Phil Donahue. Remember Phil Donahue? He wrote a book, self-biography thingy, autobiography, called, of all things, Donahue. I read it, and in this book he said, Van Horn paraphrase, "I have no one to thank for my success. I've done it myself. I'm a self-made man." There's no room for that in the cause of Christ, folks. Because God wants to work through people just like you to glorify himself. Because, number one, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen? How many of you have found God's grace to be sufficient? When you're going through something so hard you thought you were going to die. Just as we proclaim that God is made known to the person of the body of Jesus Christ, we maintain that Christ is made known to the world through the church, and that we are the body of Christ. And if we are the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, we should be expected to behave like the body of Christ and to depend on Christ as his body. Okay? Did you catch all that? That's the way we say, "It's all about Jesus." And it is. That's all about him. So long as the church exists, ladies and gents, please hear me. So long as the church exists, so long as faithful people like you gather in places like this to pray, to worship, to learn, to reflect, whatever it is you come to church for, no one, folks, should have to bear any burden alone. So long as people that love the Lord are gathered in places like this, no one should ever have to bear a burden alone. I don't care what your burden is. Unpaid bills, breaking addictions, hurt you're enduring because of others. Nobody should have to go through any of it alone. The church should be a place where people can come and say, I have a burden that I can't bear. Without facing the judgment of people coming and looking them in the eye and saying, a burden you can't bear? Ha! God will never allow you to go through something you can't bear. And then they say, but wait a minute, I can't bear this. And the implication is what? If you can't bear it, there must be something wrong with you. Face palm. Boom! Don't ever do that. Don't ever lay that on somebody. Instead, wrap your arms around them and pray for them and love them and show them how God has gotten you through your burden. Instead of bearing judgment for people being weak, we should surround people with a network of love and support that will show them that they can bear that burden too because of who Jesus is and because of what God's strength is. I want you to know something. God's biceps are bigger than yours. They're bigger than mine. They're bigger than yours. We could take everybody's bicep and tape measure them and add it all together, and God's forearms and biceps are still bigger because God is God. Faith, folks, is not some kind of contest of worthiness. People don't have faith because they're worthy. People have faith because they have been tried and because they have gone through things and God has shown himself to be faithful. That's how we get more faith. Amen? Faith is a lifelong journey of facing the struggles of the world that come with living in a fallen world and moving forward with hope because God has shown us that we can have hope. That kind of faith, folks, cannot thrive if we believe that our faith is based on what we can bear and what we can do. The gospel reminds us time and time again that our problems do not magically disappear because we have become followers of Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have winning lottery tickets, because everybody knows that I've come into the world to give people winning lottery tickets. That's not what he said. In this world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, by extension, you will overcome. But not because of your own strength, but because I have overcome. Take heart, I have overcome the world, he said. Isn't that what he said? I'm making this up. We don't have to bear the burden alone. One of the reasons why is because there's a God there with open arms and he's waiting for you to come and accept his love and his help. Another reason is because we're surrounded by a community of love that welcomes us and accepts us with our brokenness, that accepts us with our afflictions, that accepts us with all of our imperfections. What would you do, folks, if somebody walked in that door on Sunday morning and said, I am imperfect? I'm here because I am imperfect. How many of you would say, oh, get out? We only allow perfect people in here. If that's the case, what are we going to do when it comes time to receive the offering next Sunday and there's nobody here? Yes, not even Jenny will be here. You know why she won't be here? Because we only allow perfect people here. Right? No. Not at all. The church witnesses to God who stands beside us in our times of trouble. The God whose message of salvation is wrapped up in solidarity, and a God who says to us, come unto me, all you who are struggling, all you who are weak, all you who are bearing heavy burdens, and let me give you rest. I'm going to take this yoke, I'm going to put it around your neck, and I'm going to put it around my neck, and we're going to pull the plow together because that's what this whole thing is designed to do. That is what we're here for. So next time somebody who's imperfect walks in the doors of the church, don't look down your nose on them and say, my, they're not very perfect, are they? You know why you can't say that? Because you know somebody else is imperfect. I'm not going to point any fingers. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Legend is told of a man who was sleeping one night in his cabin when suddenly the room was filled with a glorious light. And a Savior appeared to him. And the Lord told the man, he says, I've got work for you to do. And the man says, whatever you call me to do, I will do. And the Lord led him outside his cabin door and said, you see that rock? I want you to get up every morning and push against that rock with all of your might. I want you to push and push and push as hard and as long as you can. And then disappeared. So every morning, that man would get up and he would go out to that rock and he would push against it and push against it and push against it with all of his might until he could push no more. He would often toil from sun up to sundown trying to push that rock and move that rock. And he pushed on it with all of his might. And every night he would come into his cabin weak and weary and sore because of all the pushing he did. But the rock never moved. One day the adversary appeared to the man and said, you're tired, you're sore, and you're weak. You've been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. You might as well give up. The man said, I don't want to give up. So the adversary said, well, then don't bother pushing so hard. Just give it minimum effort. Go through the motions and see what happens. And so the man said to himself, well, that's what I think I'll do. Since it's not working, I'm just going to quit trying and go through the motions. And the next day as he went out to the rock and he began to push on the rock very lightly, the Lord appeared to him again and said, man, what are you doing? And the man said, I have been pushing day and night on this rock for 7 years. It has not moved. I don't want to give up, but why try so hard? What's the sense? And the Lord said, I'll show you the sense. Look at your hands. They were once fat and soft. They are now hardened and strong. Look at your arms, which were once fat and soft, rippling with muscle. Your back, which was once pale, is now brown from the sun, and the muscles are extending from your back. Look at your legs, which were once pale and soft. They are pillars of strength. This has come from pushing the rock. But the man says, but it was all to no avail. Why did I bother? And the Lord said, I'll show you why. Step aside and watch as I push the rock. And the Lord moves the rock. How many of you feel right now like you've been pushing on a rock for about 7 years and you don't know why it hasn't budged? Why is it that I've been going through this for so long? You haven't moved your rock. But God never calls us to move the rock. He says, push against it. And that's our job. Push against it. Our calling is to be patient and to push and to exercise our faith and trust in the Lord. And God says, now stand aside. I will move the rock. How many of you this morning would say, I have gone through some things, and I'm going through something even right now that I cannot bear. I can't bear it myself. If your hand isn't raised, someday it will. And you will go through something that you feel that you cannot bear. Remember something. There is a God who's there, and he's saying, let me help. Take my yoke upon you. And you also have a whole group of brothers and sisters that are here for the purpose of lifting you up and helping you non judgmentally. I don't care what the problem is. Will God allow you to go through things that you can't bear? I'd ask you the question, okay? Now's your turn to talk, okay? Will God allow you to go through something you can't bear? Yes. Will God allow you to go through some things you can't handle? Yes. But why? To strengthen you and to prove He can. Amen? Step aside and let God move the rock, He says. Father, you saw the hands that were raised. And Lord, we pray together this morning that there is something there that we cannot bear on our own. But we praise you and thank you, dear God, that there is nothing too hard for you. There's not a rock you can't move. There's not a burden that you cannot bear. There's not a stress that you cannot see us through. But Father, all along, the story is not about what I can do. The story is not about my self-sufficiency. The story, dear God, is about my dependency on you. So, Father, I give you my heart, and I give you my life, and I give you this burden that I cannot bear any longer. I ask you, dear God, to bear this burden. I take it by faith, as Jesus said, to take this yoke upon me, because it is something He will bear with us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father, Jesus didn't say, "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, I'll make you stronger so you can do it yourself." Jesus wants us to come to Him, and so, Father, we do that right now. We ask you, dear God, for help in this issue. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it alone. And we'll give you praise, dear God. We'll give you praise when you move that rock. When you do this thing, Father, that we are praying for, Lord, when you bear that burden that we can no longer bear, when you handle that thing that we cannot handle, we will give you the praise because you alone deserve it. And Father, we ask this and pray this in Jesus' name.